7. The officer's name was Celino, and he came around every year. He was portly, wore no gun or vest, no mace or nightstick, no flashlight or silver bullets, no handcuffs or radio, none of the mandatory gadgetry that his brethren love to affix to their belts and bodies. Celino looked bad in his uniform, but he'd been looking bad for so long that no one cared. He patrolled the southeast, the neighborhoods around Hemlock, the affluent suburbs where the only crime was an occasional stolen bike or a speeding car. Celino's partner for the evening was a beefy, lock-jawed young lad with a roll of muscle bulging from the collar of his navy shirt. Treen was his name, and Treen wore every device and doohickey that Celino did not. When Luther saw them through the blinds on his front door, standing there pressing his doorbell, he instantly thought of Frohmeyer. Frohmeyer could summon the police to Hemlock faster than the chief himself. He opened the door, made the obligatory hellos and good evenings, then asked them to step inside. He didn't want them inside, but he knew they would not leave until they completed the ritual. Treen was grasping a plain white tube that held the calendar. Nora, who just seconds ago had been watching television with her husband, had suddenly vanished, though Luther knew she was just beyond the French doors, hiding in the kitchen, missing not a word. Celino did all the talking. Luther figured this was because his hulking partner probably possessed a limited vocabulary. The Police Benevolent Association was once again working at full throttle to do all sorts of wonderful things for the community. Toys for tots, Christmas baskets for the less fortunate, visits by Santa, ice skating adventures, trips to the zoo. And they were delivering gifts to the old folks in the nursing homes and to the veterans tucked away in wards. Celino had perfected his presentation. Luther had heard it before. To help defray the costs of their worthy projects this year, the Police Benevolent Association had once again put together a handsome calendar for next year, one that again featured some of its members in action shots as they served the people. Treen on cue whipped out Luther's calendar, unrolled it, and flipped the rather large sheets as Celino did the play-by-play. For January, it was a traffic cop with a warm smile waving little kindergartners across the street. For February, it was a cop even beefier than Treen helping a stranded motorist change a tire. Somehow, in the midst of the effort, the policeman had managed to smile. For March, it was a rather tense scene at a nighttime accident with lights flashing all around and three men in blue conferring with frowns. Luther admired the photos and artwork without a word as the months marched along. What about the leopard print briefs, he wanted to ask, or the steam room, or the lifeguard with just a towel around his waist? 3 years earlier, the PBA had succumbed to trendier tastes and published a calendar filled with photos of its leaner and younger members, all clad in virtually nothing, half grinning goofily at the camera, the other half straining with the tortured I-hate-modeling veneer of contemporary fashion. Practically R-rated, a big story about it made the front page. Quite a brouhaha erupted overnight. The mayor was incensed as complaints flooded City Hall. The director of the PBA got fired. The undistributed calendars were pulled and burned while the local TV station recorded it live. Nora kept theirs in the basement, where she secretly enjoyed it all year. The beefcake calendar was a financial disaster for all concerned, but it created more interest the following Christmas. Sales almost doubled. Luther bought one every year, but only because it was expected. Oddly, there was no price attached to the calendars, at least not to the ones delivered personally by the likes of Celino and Treen. Their personal touch cost something more, an additional layer of goodwill that people like Luther were expected to fork over simply because that was the way it was done. It was this coerced, above-the-table bribery that Luther hated. Last year he'd written a check for $100 to the PBA, but not this year. When the presentation was over, Luther stood tall and said, "I don't need one." Celino cocked his head to one side as if he'd misunderstood. Treen's neck puffed out another inch. Celino's face turned into a smirk. "You may not need one," the smirk said, "but you'll buy it anyway." "Why's that?" he said. "I already have calendars for next year." That was news to Nora, who was biting a fingernail and holding her breath. "But not like this," Treen managed to grunt. Celino shot him a look that said, "Be quiet." "I have two calendars in my office and two on my desk," Luther said. "We have one by the phone in the kitchen. My watch tells me precisely what day it is, as does my computer. Haven't missed a day in years." "We're raising money for crippled children, Mr. Crank," Celino said, his voice suddenly soft and scratchy. Nora felt a tear coming. We give to crippled children, officer, Luther shot back. Through the United Way and our church and our taxes, we give to every needy group you can possibly name. You're not proud of your policeman? Treen said roughly, no doubt repeating a line he'd heard Celino use on others. Luther caught himself for a second and allowed his anger to settle in, as if buying a calendar was the only measure of his pride in the local police force, as if forking over a bribe in the middle of his living room was proof that he, Luther Crank, stood solidly behind the boys in blue. I paid $1,300 in city taxes last year, Luther said, his eyes flashing hot and settling on young Treen, a portion of which went to pay your salary. Another portion went to pay the firemen, the ambulance drivers, the school teachers, the sanitation workers, the street cleaners, the mayor and his rather comprehensive staff, the judges, the bailiffs, the jailers, all those clerks down at City Hall, all those folks down at Mercy Hospital. They do a great job. You, sir, do a great job. I'm proud of all our city employees. But what's a calendar got to do with anything? Of course, Treen had never had it put to him in such a logical manner, and he had no response. Celino either, for that matter. A tense pause followed.